Velkomin, þetta er fyrsta hlaðvarp Litla Íslands. Ég heiti Þóranna og í dag erum við með franskan innanhús dekorator. Ég bara veit ekki alveg hvað ég á að kalla það á íslensku með okkur, sem heitir Caroline og your last name, how do you pronounce it?
Sherm.
How did I do with that one? That's perfect. Þar sem að Caroline er frönsk, þá ætlum við að taka þetta viðtal á ensku. Now, a lot of Icelandic people sort of automatically go, she's French, why would she choose to live in Iceland? Why are you here?
In fact, we came 3 years ago as tourists, just for 3 weeks, and we just fell in love with Iceland, actually. So the five of us. And yeah, the year after, so 2 years ago, we came back, just it was my birthday present to come back to Iceland from my husband. So we just, yeah, it was just an evidence and that we needed to move to Iceland and to go for a new adventure. So Iceland was the best choice we could have ever done. So
you came, what, for a family holiday? Or?
Yeah, it was just a family holiday, just a nice destination. And because we love nature, so we thought that Iceland would be just perfect. So to start with, it was just this, just five days.
The five of you.
Yeah, the five of us. Yeah, so it's it was quite funny to see that the five of us at the very same time just fell in love with Iceland. So it's, yeah, when the whole family agree, so it's...
So you moved a family of five?
Yeah.
From where?
We were living in Luxembourg for 12 years before.
Okay.
We're all from France, but yeah, my kids were born in Luxembourg. So I think, although we loved Luxembourg, it's a very nature country too, but we probably needed something new and to go for a new adventure and to, yeah, think out of the box and out of the comfort zone probably.
Now, the reason we got you here on the podcast is because you are an interior decorator, right?
Yeah, right.
And what we want to talk to you about today is how that affects business. But just before we get into that, because I know, you know, and I know that we'll be able to talk for hours if nobody stops us about that bit, because we've had a bit of a chat before. So a family of five moves to Iceland just because you came on holiday and you really liked the place.
Exactly.
And you've been here now for just over a year, am
yeah.
I right?
Yeah, that's true.
How is it going? How is everybody adjusting?
Everybody's absolutely fine. So I have three children and they all just love Iceland. They love their new school and they love just what Iceland could offer them, meaning that they're so free. So they love being so independent and that their parents also have changed their minds. So meaning that we agree to let them go and they can take their bike whenever and wherever they go, they want to go. So
fantastic.
It's just a new freedom for them. So they just love it. And they love, yeah, all this funny, they just love this, new freedom for them. So it's, everybody's fine. Very nice to be here.
So when we had a little chat just to prepare for this podcast, you said something about, you know, about coming to Iceland as an adventure and, you know, sort of the attitude of Icelanders you liked. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think the big crush about Iceland was very much the mindset of Icelandic people. I think what I didn't like anymore about France and French people is that they're very pessimistic very often. They don't dare doing things. And what I love about Iceland, that people dare thinking in a different way out of the box. And I love, for example, the Icelandic words þetaredast. It's just so optimistic and that we don't need to worry anymore about what's going on. Þetaredast.
Yeah, like this podcast, you know, yeah. Going into it, yeah. We're just like, oh, þetaredast.
Exactly.
It does kind of always do that. But you came to Iceland, you didn't speak Icelandic when you came here. Job. What you presumably left jobs in Luxembourg and you came here. What was the plan with regards to that?
In fact, we just we try for half a year, just to find a job from being in Luxembourg. But we understood that it was a bit complicated, being so far away. So we decided, okay, let's quit our jobs, the two of us, and see what's going to happen. So we knew we could afford a little break and for a few months. And yeah, we just started with settling down with the kids, just being sure that they are fine, which went very quickly. And then we started both our business and to work on this. And
so both of you are in business in Iceland?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about your design studio, but I'm curious, your husband, started a business?
He was working in finance in Luxembourg. So now he's starting his own business, being a financial consultant.
Okay.
So he already has quite nice Icelandic clients. So it's...
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Very optimistic too. And we're sure that everything will be fine now. So it's...
But tell me about your business.
So I've been an interior decorator in Luxembourg for 8 years before. So I already ran my own business there. So it was not that new for me. So I started around, I think it was October, November, to look for premises just where I could settle down. So I found a place in Odinskata. It's a nice in a historical house. So it's a very nice studio. And I tried also to make it as a showroom just to show people the way I'm working, because I think it's quite different from what we used to have in Iceland. So I love working with colors, with wallpapers, with different kind of furniture. I wanted to have a place where to, so that people can understand.
So people can come and visit you in the studio and get a feel for the interior decorating work that you do.
Exactly. It's not really a shop, because I'm selling a few accessories like candles, cushions, things like this.
Yeah.
But it's much more a place where to take on projects and to welcome clients. And I've got many material, many samples, so they can just touch everything and discover wallpapers, for example, and just making everything match together and start creating an atmosphere and a project together. So it's...
Now, I know you do interior decorating for homes as well, but what we really wanted to talk about today is your work with businesses. Because I think, a lot of us kind of think, you want to have a nice office or what have you, but maybe we don't think about it that deeply. So, we'll pop into IKEA or something and we'll try and make it nice. But there's a lot more to it, isn't it? There's a lot that can be done.
There's a lot that can be done, and very often people just concentrate on their home because we have in mind that it's the most important, which is true. We need this cocooning home just to feel well. But if you think of it, we're spending hours at work and sometimes even more than our own homes. So it's workspaces are really now a living space also. So we have to think of it and decorate it as if it were a home's, nearly our homes, just to make people feel well and comfortable and happy at work. So it's we really need to focus on this, just to make for the well-being of people working and clients when they're coming.
Are there specific things, or is it just like when you come in, do you just kind of go, oh yeah, I'll do this and this and that to make it look nice? But if I understood you correctly when we had a little chat before, there are really sort of concrete, specific things that are known to be, good for workplaces.
Yeah,
am I right?
There are specific things, in meaning that we can work with colors, for example, and depending on the value or the image of the company, we're going to start, for example, with the logo, and which gives a lot of information about the company and the image of the company wants to deliver to people. So it's very often a starting point, and then depending on the values we want to communicate and what we want people to live in the workplace, and how we want them to behave and to what we want them to feel we're going to give different answers, of course. So it's never, there's no good or bad when we're talking about decoration. It's much more, yeah, what we imagine for our company. And so there are many different answers, but yeah.
So you would start from, like you mentioned, starting from the logo. So really you're starting from the brand,
exactly,
the brand identity, and then bringing that into the workplace.
Exactly.
What do you do if you have a brand identity with, I don't know, let's say garish colors or something that doesn't really work in the environment as such? What do you do if you have a situation like that?
I think we can always find a solution, actually. We just, if the colors are too present, of course we will find a way to calm them down and to adapt them so that, because of course if you've got, for example, a red logo, we can't put red everywhere, because employees wouldn't feel comfortable at all. Mm. It would be too aggressive for them.
Mm.
But there's always funny ways to bring this to decoration. And of course, very often the logo has just one color, sometimes it's just black and white or with only one color. And of course, we can't, for example, Little Iceland is orange. We couldn't put orange everywhere.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense. So it's much more subtle, and just find, it can be just on a sofa, for example, so it's just a colorful sofa, but so there's this attention, but not in a too present way and not too being too oppressive. Need to find,
so there's an art to sort of finding,
exactly,
the
just to
balance.
Find a balance between this, yeah, let's bring color, but we don't want a workspace to be a rainbow and people not feeling well at all. We just, so we need to have everybody comfortable. So, but it's not that complicated. Very often we just find the balance quite easily.
But you mentioned red. I mean, what if we did go for like just painting everything red, red walls, and you know, what kind of influence would that have on the working space?
Only red would be dramatic. It would, although red is, of course, the color of passion, and it's very useful in workplaces because it helps people to concentrate. So with red, we are better, much more concentrate, and more efficient, more productive. So we need some red in certain spaces. But on the contrary, red is also very oppressive, very invasive, so it would be too much. Just so some red, some little touches of red are important sometimes, but not in a too large quantity, I would say.
Because I know you have a very interesting story about a red doctor's office.
Yeah, that's true. I had one day I went to a cardiologist offices, and because he told me that his patients were very in a bad mood very often, and not happy at all. And I went, when I went to the waiting room, it was all red. Walls were red and chairs were red. So I just told him that he couldn't have done a worse choice than just having this red. Because in fact, red just is the color of blood, is increasing the heart rhythm. So it's just, it was terrible. So my work was also to bring new colors, kind of powdery pink, you know, this old pink that calms everything down, and nice powdery green, and just offering a decoration as if it were a home, making things cozy. And yeah, he told me after that it was a big success, and the behavior of the clients, patients were so different. So
he literally could see a difference in how his patients were.
He gave me a call just a few weeks after, so not a long time after. And it was funny because he told me, I'm 200% happy. So just, yeah, I think the difference was so obvious. So it's just, I tried to decorate it as if it were a home also, just to make people forget why they were here, because it's not very often, not because you're not always happy to go to a doctor. So
no, exactly.
We need to offer them something quiet and peaceful and
So this can influence, like in this case, I mean, the doctor presumably was quite happy himself working in his doctor's office, you know, in his red doctor's office, but this influenced the patients.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, are there other examples of how colours have influenced people, and are there other people that we need to be taking into account? So, you know, presumably the people working in the place and then clients coming in. What else can colours do for us?
Yeah, for example, there's a, I'm thinking of Little Iceland. For example, the orange is quite an important colour because it's definitely the colour of communication. So there's, in front, there's a phone company called Orange.
Mm.
So it's not, it's, of course, they did it on purpose to choose this name and this colour. So it's orange, the colour of communication. So it's, for example, a very great colour in a welcoming hall. So you give straightforward the message that, okay, let's communicate. We're happy to have you here. And orange is kind of, it's yellow and red at the same time. So it gives this joyful and energy at the same time. So it's a nice color where we can have it in a, yeah, in a meeting room maybe also. And I had also a project of a speech therapist. And she said that they had a place where it was difficult to have people telling about their problem, speech problem. And we put some orange in this specific space because it helped people just to be more confident in the doctors. And so they were willing to talk much more easily thanks to this influence of red.
That's very interesting. Yeah. But I'm assuming it's not just about colours. What other things are there to consider in decorating workspaces?
Yeah, there are many things to consider. There's, for example, furniture. So we need to, it needs to be functional for sure. So we need to have ergonomic furniture. But at the same time, we can also have something because, yeah, very often it's just a black leather chairs with wood tables. Sometimes we can try to be more creative and more, yeah, to surprise employees and clients by with pieces of furniture that are not that common and that surprise them. So it's it gives a message of modernity also. So we can use furniture just to, yeah, furniture is a really a balance between functionality, being comfortable and beautiful at the same time. And now we're so lucky to have many brands that offer this furniture, surprising.
What about layout and how you arrange things? Are there any sort of, I mean, is it just a question of a feel, or are there any kind of sort of key points that you can, that can guide the way in how you arrange facilities?
Yeah, you're right. I think when we're thinking of a decorative project for workplaces, we should start with a layout. And we should also start, as I told you before, there's no good or right truth or mistakes, but it's much more how you want people to work in your company. There's the classic layout with individual offices, for example, which is absolutely fine because it offers intimacy for the employees. But at the same time, we have to bear in mind that sometimes, especially the managers, are not so close to their colleagues, to their collaborators. So, okay, it could be a solution. There's also the solution of open spaces, which has many advantages, like the communication is really great, it's very friendly, and it offers, for example, a nicer flexibility because you can change the desk very easily and depending on the needs, but at the same time it's much more noisy.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we've got acoustic solutions which are not too complicated to do, so we just need to talk first on how you want your employees to work, and then we find the best solution. And we can even think of something more daring, thinking that, okay, maybe people don't have to choose where they want to sit, and maybe they can arrive every morning thinking that, okay, maybe today I'm going to just stand up or being on a sofa with my laptop, and then, oh no, today I feel much more like having an individual office. So we could also imagine different things, but it depends on companies, and we don't give the same answers, of course.
No, I presume it kind of, yeah, depends a bit on how you're working and, you know, is it working in teams or is a lot of, and all these dynamics come into play,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my job is very much to try to understand who the people are. It's not, we need this communication time before, just between my clients and I, so that I can help them to find the best solution. I just don't know before what this best solution is, but it's by talking with them that we all understand what will suit them best, in fact. So it's...
There was another story I remember that you talked about prison cells and colours. Sorry, just to go back on colours, I just think it's a story that our listeners have to hear.
In fact, yeah, it's funny because colours have so incredible powers on us. And yeah, the story that they try to paint in pink all the cells of a prison. And in fact, it proved that the violence and the aggressivity of prisoners reduced so much just because of thanks to the pink. So it's, pink is a very nice color. It can be seen very feminine,
yeah,
of course, but at the same time, it's such a peaceful color, and that I think we really need some pink sometimes, somewhere in a workspace. Yeah.
So we know that too much red is not good. We know that orange is good for communication. Pink will, you know, reduce aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Any other little tips on these things?
Yeah, for example, you've got blue, which increases creativity. And so blue, and it's a very peaceful color. So it's perfect, for example, in a relaxing room. So if you want people to be... to calm down and to relax and to be happy, and so blue is green also, it has the same effect, but just yeah, so it's a nice color, and it's the color that most people love best.
Yeah,
so if you want to have everybody agree on a color, we should go for blue.
So that's why we have all these blue companies all over the place.
It's a good choice.
But I want to ask you, because a lot of this has to do with increasing communication, working together better. But a huge problem in the modern sort of working life is burnout.
Yeah.
Can we help reduce burnout by working with the spaces that we're working in?
Of course, because many scientific researches have proved that burnouts have increased. There's many reasons, of course, but one of them is that we've got white walls, white and black offices. And in fact, people don't feel well in such an atmosphere. And just working in white and black just increases this risk of burnout. People feel less happy, they feel less efficient, they get tired more quickly. So, in fact, colors is the perfect answer to help us controlling this feeling that are not, yeah, sometimes we all get tired, but with colors we give more, we receive more energy. So that's, of course, it's not a miracle.
Yeah, but...
definitely. One of the reasons, just because we've got white everywhere, and... I'm really convinced that it's colors would help us so much.
So the trend that I think we've all seen in Iceland in the past few years, or decade or so, with sort of a bit of minimalist white, black glass, that sort of thing, might not be the best way to go.
It looks very elegant. To start with, which I like, black is a wonderful color for, it's very elegant, very sophisticated. So I absolutely agree that we need some black.
Mm.
But the problem of the total look, in fact, the fact that we only have black and white. So, and in fact, yeah, it's just scientific research here that have proved that human beings need the whole scope of colors. Of course, we don't want a rainbow all around us, but little touches of every colors is definitely something that our bodies and mind need just to feel balanced and happier.
What about, I mean, now we're living in a country where sometimes during the year we have 24 hours of daylight and maybe a little bit too much light, some would say. I mean, you moved to Iceland, yeah. So it must be a shock for you. And then we'll have the winter where we hardly see the sun. Can we help these things? Like, now I'm speaking very specifically maybe to our conditions here in Iceland, but can we help these things with our working spaces?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We need to work on lighting very carefully. Well, it's true everywhere in every country, but you're absolutely right, especially in Iceland. So lighting is something we have to bear in mind very deeply. It must be functional. So we must control that we have enough lighting, but not too much, because if we don't have enough light, we're getting tired more easily, and if we've got too much, it's also kind of headaches, and so it's not that good either. So hopefully we've got many solutions, like you have got some dimmers on bulbs and lighting, so we can adapt, but at the same time lights must be also beautiful to watch. So it's also like furniture, in fact, it's just the balance between functionality and aestheticism. And we should really not forget about lighting, and just also create offices where there's natural light as far as possible, especially in Iceland. We need as much as we can to catch the natural lighting for the few little hours
that we can have, make the most of them.
Exactly.
You're talking about light, and one of the things I'm looking at now that I'm speaking to you is behind you there's a plant. Now, I've never been known for having green fingers. I think I've managed to kill cactuses. The practicality, I mean, are there benefits to having plants in a working environment? And then another question on that, I have a feeling there are benefits, but what about taking care of them? Because that's an added layer of things to take care of during the day that I don't think anybody of us needs to add to those. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of benefits having plants. It brings green inside. So, of course, we've got a lot of nature in Iceland, so we're not missing it very often. But having plants in a workspace offers also some life and something lively around us. And it helps to have a better healthcare also, because plants help us to have a more natural, I don't know how I could say it, but healthy environment, which is very important to have in mind also. And for caring about them, we just need to find someone who agrees to help. And very often it's the person who's taking care about cleaning and having the offices tidy. So we need them to help, of course, us to, I agree sometimes. And most of them need also natural lighting. So, but we can have some plants that, I don't know the name precisely in English, actually, but you just change the sieve of the plants with a kind of liquid that stops the plant from growing, so it doesn't need water or light anymore, but it's still a real plant.
So it's a real plant, and you get the benefits of having a real plant.
You just stop its growth. Just stop it.
So you don't need
to care about it anymore. You've got the benefits of it, but without.
That sounds like something I should look into. with ferns and cactuses and things that I've killed throughout the years. I've given up. My friends have given up on giving me.
I'm not very good personally either, so I agree.
But when you came to see me, a little sneak peek I had last week when we sort of sat down just to prepare a little bit for the podcast. I am here for Svarthot, Samtök Vestlurna Þjónustu, which you're a member of. Now, we have, our colour is orange, like Little Iceland, which is great because, should be good for communication. You've seen our offices. Now, do you have any tips for us?
Yeah, always. I think you've already did done a very nice job, actually, because it's there's many spaces in your offices where there are relaxing sofas and relaxing spaces, which are very nice. And we can I like that some chairs were surprising in their design, etc. So it's very nice, already very nicely done. Probably we could go a little bit further and just using this, because I love your logo, actually, with this kind of smile and smiley face.
Oh, yeah. It's good, isn't it?
It's very nice. And I think we could go even further with this just kind of fun decoration, because it gives a very nice message to the people who are coming to you that, okay, it's orange, so it means that you're ready to communicate and help and have a nice chat together. And this smiley face is just so welcoming. So I think we could probably have more colors or even more daring things. Yeah,
I quite like bringing the idea of
even
that.
More colors, bold ones probably, and it could be also wallpapers. It could be bold wallpaper that just give this wow effect and eye catcher that we like in decoration.
Do you have any favorite, like, companies that, you know, whose workplaces you really, really, really like and would like to see more of those kind of spaces?
Of course, there's the most well-known one, which is Google offices, probably. It's, we all know the Google logo with all these colors and that they try also to adapt depending on events. And the offices of Google is just, an example of what we could do. They, of course, they're very lucky to have very open spaces and very large offices. But I think what is good, it's very colorful, and they also offer their employees funny places where to relax also. And in fact, I've read one day an article about Google saying that all the best ideas they had them when people were not officially working. And they just I think Google also understand that it's important to let his employees having some personal time during their working hours.
Yeah.
And apparently the best ideas were born during this relaxing break.
Yeah. So I mean, they're known for their 20% time, aren't they? You can work on anything you want to. So.
And I know they've got some slides in their offices. They've got some.
It's got to be good.
It should be wonderful to work there. Just, probably.
But one of the things that a lot of companies probably think now that they're listening to you and they're going, okay, so cool, we need to think about our colors, and I'm sure we could improve our layout and bring some plants and all this stuff. And the first thing they'll, the finance director will probably be thinking is, oh my God, this is going to cost a fortune. Does it have to be expensive to improve your workspace in this way?
Of course, it doesn't have to, and it shouldn't be. It should be too expensive. And it's not more expensive to color the walls with white or with a specific color. So we could, very often it's just because we don't dare, because we're afraid of the final results, that we don't do things. And of course, there's a little budget, but I really think that decoration shouldn't be seen as something just to show off or to impress. It's we have to think of it like for the well-being of the employees. And I'm very convinced that it's part of a strategy just to increase the value of the company. Of course, from a human point of view, because people will feel much happier. So it means that they will be less ill, have less pains. So they won't be so much away from offices so much. And then I'm also convinced that it helps clients to be confident in your company. So I'm quite sure that decoration, of course, we need some budget to be able to do things, but I'm quite convinced that then we've got results also, because if people are happier, they won't try to join another company, so they will be more faithful probably, and clients will be more willing to work with you and to come to you. And
So it has a lot of potential benefits. I mean, like, you know, I'm just thinking what you said here, employee well-being, you know, splashes of red could increase productivity, orange to, you know, improve communications, you know, but also clients being happier, presumably it could help retention and recruitment. I mean, it matters, doesn't it, when you come in for an interview?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And many surveys have proved that people, when you try to join a new company, they look at their workplace. Yeah. And it's part of that, of course, not all the decision, but part of the decision to join a company rather than another one, just because they know they will be fine in the work space. So it's part of, it will definitely help to recruit future talents.
Do you think companies, I mean, are literally leaving money on the table by not thinking about this?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. It's not very easy to know how much and I have no proof for it.
But they're missing a trick, definitely. Yeah, it's one of those things that they can be using to improve their business and...
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many things we can do, and we don't have to do the whole decoration and to change everything. It can be step by step also, and we can start with very often I just did, for example, a waiting room. I just did a welcoming hall or just a meeting room, so we don't have to do the whole space.
You just start with sort of the selected, and then you can gradually...
We can plan the decoration and do space by space. After space, and there's many places that we should improve, and the decoration just to
And your studios is in Óðinsgata,
exactly.
So like in the heart of Reykjavík.
Yeah.
And what's it called?
It's called Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Meaning God and Dive.
Fabulous. And the website is Bonjour. .is, right?
Exactly, yeah, right.
And people can find you on social as well? Or?
Yeah, I've got a page on Facebook, on Instagram.
Okay, so. which because in a way a podcast is really not the ideal way to introduce what you do to people, because we can't show them that much.
No, but I've got a website also.
Yeah, so that's the way that people can sort of get the full visual, or, well, part of the visual experience, definitely. Which is great. So I encourage people to go and check that out. Is there anything you want to share with us at the end?
No, I think we've talked quite a lot about many things now.
Yeah.
So it's,
I think we should probably sneak it in here. I don't know whether we'll do it before this podcast is out or after, but we are going to get you to visit here in Hús Atvinnulífsins, probably before Christmas at some point, and, you know, to give a little talk and show us. So that will be an opportunity for people to see what you're talking about, not just listen to it.
I would be very happy.
Yeah, so I encourage everybody to sort of look out for that and come and see you once you're here. It's been great. I've learned so much, and you know, not just about the workplace, but I have to say I totally admire you to uproot yourself with a family of five and move to Iceland. You know, it's not everybody will do that.
Life is great here, so it's a challenge, but it's just very rewarding, I think.
Fabulous. I think we can, you know, I can safely say that we're happy to have you guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.